Atlantis lands at Kennedy hours before the Navy scores a direct missile hit on a satellite. Eclipse finds a location for its assembly plant in Russia. And a famous name at Cessna will take a new job at Hawker Beechcraft. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Thursday, February 21st, 2008. A mission that got off to a late and decidedly rocky start ended smoothly Wednesday morning at the Kennedy Space Center as the shuttle Atlantis touched down on runway 15, bringing the STS-122 mission to a successful close at 9:07 a.m. Eastern Time. The next mission, STS-123, is slated to launch in March on board Endeavour, which is already sitting on the launch pad. NASA had stated it wanted to get Atlantis on the ground before the U.S. Navy's attempt to shoot down a defective spy satellite with a missile launched from a cruiser in the Pacific. That attempt came at 10:26 p.m. Eastern Time Wednesday night, and the Pentagon says the first shot did the trick. It has not been confirmed that the faulty spy satellite's hydrazine fuel tank was destroyed, but Marine General James Cartwright, Vice Chairman of the Joint Chiefs, told reporters at the Pentagon there don't appear to be any big pieces of the 5,000-pound satellite left. Quote, "Thus far, we've seen nothing larger than a football," unquote. While it would appear Earthlings are safe from the poison hydrazine gas cloud, political fallout is another thing entirely. More on that tomorrow. Eclipse Aviation is helping spread enthusiasm for the Eclipse 500 in Russia. As ANN has reported, European Technology and Investment Research Center Aviation in Russia, also called ETURC, recently entered into an agreement with Eclipse to assemble the 500 in Russia and handle sales for Europe, Russia, and Turkey. An important step was finding a suitable location for a plant. On Monday, ETURC's own Eclipse 500 was flown to Ulyanovsk-Vostochny International Airport, where ETURC says it has provided numerous demonstration flights to Russian officials and media representatives. Eclipse President Vern Rayburn and ETURC Aviation Chairman Roel Pieper say they've agreed on a prime location at the airport for the proposed plant. Moving forward now will require the creation of a special free trade zone in Ulyanovsk. That's something which reportedly has the support of Ulyanovsk Governor Sergei Morozov. A final agreement is predicted within a few months. Russ Mayer Jr., Chairman Emeritus of Cessna, oversaw the plane maker's ascent into the ranks of elite business jet manufacturers. His son, Russ III, has spent the last 13 years in increasingly responsible roles at Cessna, most recently as program manager for the Citation Mustang light jet. Mayer tells the Wichita Eagle, quote, "If you would have told me 6 months ago I was leaving Cessna, I would have said you're crazy. I was not looking for a change," unquote. But effective March 3rd, change will come. Mayer the Younger will make the crosstown move to join Hawker Beechcraft as Director of New Product Development, with duties including the management of risk-sharing partners. Randy Nelson, Hawker Beechcraft Senior VP for Product Development and Engineering, says of Russ, quote, "His rich experience and knowledge of the industry will help Hawker Beechcraft continue to deliver innovative new products to our many valued customers worldwide," unquote. Mayer says his dad supported the move. Boeing is no doubt hoping that the U.S. Air Force was watching yesterday as it delivered the first KC-767 tanker to Japan for use by that country's Air Self-Defense Force. It's the first aerial refueling aircraft in Japan's history. As Boeing Integrated Defense Systems President and CEO Jim Albaugh put it, quote, "This delivery confirms Boeing's standing as the world's leading provider of aerial refueling tankers and continues our company's proud 75-year history of producing tankers," unquote. Boeing is locked in a competition with a Northrop Grumman EADS consortium to win a contract to produce the U.S. Air Force's next-generation KC-X tanker. Northrop has promoted its KC-30 entry as more capable in transport roles and is having the more reliable supplier network, pointing out that Boeing is over a year late delivering the first KC-767 to Japan. Boeing plans to deliver Japan's second tanker as soon as the first one clears its acceptance process in that country. Japan has ordered a total of four KC-767s. The company is also building four tankers for Italy, with delivery of the first two scheduled this year. Since the 1930s, Boeing says it has built and delivered more than 2,000 tankers. Up next on ANN, U.S. Airways pilots will vote on whether to break with the ALPA. Airbus says its delayed A400M will fly this summer. and another European airline positions itself for U.S. industry consolidation. You're listening to Aero News.
Diamond Aircraft's new DA-40 Diamond Star XL includes all popular Diamond options, combined with the sensational new Garmin GFC-700 Autopilot, a higher performance power plant, and increased gross weight. This makes the Diamond Star XL the perfect choice for affordable personal flying. The Diamond Star XL features equipment and enhancements that increase performance, capability, safety, convenience, and comfort. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3020.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, you'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways, and you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800-4-Cessna.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for February 21st, 2008. On the web, you can find us at www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. The National Mediation Board has cleared the way for an election to choose union representation for pilots at U.S. Airways. The pilots have long been represented by the Airline Pilots Association International. But a difficult merger between U.S. Airways and America West, with both sets of pilots represented by ALPA, left the former U.S. Airways pilots disgruntled over determination of their positions on seniority lists. The result was formation of the U.S. Airline Pilots Association, or USAPA, which petitioned the NMB for the vote last November. The board has approved the election, but an exact date has not yet been set. Airbus announced yesterday its delayed A400M military transport turboprop will finally fly this summer. At the 2008 Singapore Air Show, Airbus CEO Tom Enders expressed confidence the program's troubles are behind it. As ANN reported, Airbus parent company Eads announced in October that the four-engine turboprop transport would be delayed as much as 6 months due to delays in development of the TPM-400 turboprop engine, which will power the aircraft. Airbus says that despite the delays, none of the company's 192 orders for the A400M have been canceled. Germany, France, Spain, and Britain are the aircraft's biggest customers. In addition to competing directly with the Lockheed Martin C-130, Airbus sees the A400M competing with the larger, turbofan-powered Boeing C-17 Globemaster III. With an outbreak of U.S. airline industry consolidation now thought to be mere days away, European carriers are positioning themselves to take advantage. Air France KLM went first, moving to acquire a stake in a merger said to be pending between Delta and Northwest Airlines by offering cash, which neither U.S. partner has much of these days. Now, the Chicago Tribune reports Lufthansa is contemplating an investment into a rumored joining of United and Continental Airlines. Lufthansa's North American communications manager, Jennifer Urbaniak, says the airline has enjoyed a strong relationship with United as a key Star Alliance partner. Quote, in general, any decisions regarding future investments take into account the synergies that could be realized on behalf of our passengers, unquote. The latest talk comes after December's announcement of Lufthansa's acquisition of a 19% stake in low-cost carrier JetBlue Airways. The National Transportation Safety Board is so concerned with finding a missing aircraft engine part in Texas that it's reportedly considering a search on a scale normally reserved for missing pilots and passengers. Back on November 17th, Southwest Flight 438 was climbing out from Dallas Love Field when passengers heard what they called an explosion from the left engine at 25,000 feet. When the aircraft returned to the airport, it had a gaping hole in the engine cowling, and it was quickly determined the engine's fan blades had suffered a catastrophic failure. Southwest was criticized in blogs by angry passengers for understating the engine failure as a vibration and sending a letter to the flight's 133 passengers, which explained, quote, the fan blades on the front of the engine were damaged and rattled around the engine's intake area, unquote. The engine in question is a CFM56-3B1. That's the most popular airliner power plant currently flying. The engine is manufactured by CFMI, which is a joint venture between General Electric and Snecma. The latter is now a division of the French aerospace company Safran Group. If there's a problem which may affect more of these engines, it could represent a significant risk due to the number of them in service. The front and rear spinners were both lost in the engine failure. NTSB says finding the front spinner is critical to determining whether the spinner or the turbine fan blades were the first to fail. The front spinner is a dome-shaped object about the size and shape of the top of a medium-sized barbecue grill. Based on the flight's speed and location and weather conditions at the time, investigators believe the spinner landed in a marshy rural area of Hunt County, probably west of State Highway 50 and south of County Road 4403. Investigators say this is the first time they've ever had to search for a spinner. They don't know whether it will be found intact or may have been broken up into smaller pieces. The public has been alerted to look for the object, and cattle rancher Mike Crowell, who owns most of the land in the area, says he's been keeping an eye out for the part while working on his ranch. But Crowell says he'd need lots of help to properly search his entire 300 acres. NTSB now says it may provide exactly that, a full-scale search of Crowell's property, and may expand the search area as well. Crowell says the government investigators are welcome on his property, but tells NBC5 Television, quote, "If that plane part fell in certain areas, it might be years before somebody stumbled on it," unquote. Still ahead, Vladimir Putin provides Russia watchers with a metaphor moment. Augusta Westland expands in Philly. And scientists say don't bother looking for that meteor that fell over the northwest U.S. You're listening to Aero News.
Shoot happens. Come on, you know it does. Even the world's top test pilots know there are in-flight situations you can't always recover from. Mid-air collision, control failure, pilot incapacitation. In severe emergencies, do what the world's top test pilots do. Use a parachute. Except, instead of having to bail out of a moving aircraft, you can have the safety of a BRS full airframe recovery parachute. BRS has parachutes for an enormous variety of aircraft, from experimental to light sport, and all the way to retrofits on certified airplanes. Shoot happens. Will you be ready when it does? Call BRS today at 651-457-8651 or visit us online at brsparachutes.com.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Thursday, February 21st, 2008. I'm Paul Plack. Russia is hoping to return to its traditional role as a world leader in aviation technology. One big step will be developing a new high-tech aircraft design center at Zhukovsky near Moscow. Russian President Vladimir Putin, described by Reuters as an amateur aviation buff who once traveled to an official visit in a fighter jet, checked out a new Tu-334 airliner yesterday, joined by former law professor and current First Deputy Prime Minister Dmitry Medvedev. Medvedev is widely viewed as a successor to Putin in the next election, but Russia watchers believe Putin may continue to exercise considerable control over the government, possibly from a position as prime minister. Reuters could not help but notice that when Putin and Medvedev toured the cockpit of the airliner yesterday, Putin took the pilot seat, leaving Medvedev to sit in the first officer's position. It could be a great metaphor. Read into it what you will. Augusta Westland celebrated the grand opening of its new AW-139 medium twin helicopter assembly line in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania yesterday, joined by over 300 guests and 400 employees. In addition to the assembly of the AW-139, the facility is also responsible for AW-119KE production and supports the expanding fleet of Augusta Westland helicopters in North and South America. The second AW-139 assembly line was sorely needed. Just over 1 year since production started, the original 139 line is reaching full production, producing 30 helicopters a year. By the end of 2008, the Philadelphia facility will grow to more than 500 employees, adding over 150 new jobs. Augusta Westland's presence in Philadelphia dates back to 1980. A 75,000-square-foot maintenance facility was built in 1988. In 2004, the facility underwent major expansion and today is the sole production location for the AW-119KE. That's the new upgraded version of the Koala. A fireball in the pre-dawn sky over the Pacific Northwest U.S. Tuesday morning has had residents of the region buzzing about where the meteorite might have landed. But an Associated Press report suggests they'll be disappointed if they try to look for it. AP cites scientists at the University of Washington who say the meteor likely disintegrated before reaching the Earth's surface. The scientists used readings from instruments in the Pacific Northwest Seismic Network to triangulate the position of the meteor. They say it appears to have disintegrated above the Blue Mountains, about 25 miles north of La Grande, Oregon, at an altitude of about 19 miles. The meteor's bright trail was seen across Washington, Oregon, Idaho, Montana, and British Columbia. Finally, we're encouraged to teach our kids to know how to call 911 in an emergency. And we all know how much kids like to play with telephones, but a man in New Hampshire apparently learned something new about cell phones yesterday. They make bad toys for kids even after they're deactivated. The AP reports New Hampshire's emergency call center got a report of a plane crash near Hudson, New Hampshire, from a 911 caller who sounded like a child. The caller hung up immediately. There were no other reports from the public, so police quickly determined they were looking for a prankster and not a crash scene. Investigators traced the call to a deactivated cell phone, and the owner said his 6-year-old son had the phone at daycare. The child's teacher talked to the boy, got the phone from him, and police determined that the youngster did indeed place the call. Fortunately for Dad, Police Lieutenant Bob Tusignant wrote the incident off as a chance to teach the child about the proper use of 911. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, I'll talk with ANN Managing Editor Rob Finfrock about the demise of Atom Aircraft. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts. Find them on iTunes, Yahoo, Odeo, and at our website, www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.